Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Judge Clark, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for having us here, Leanne. And when I say us, I'm here to represent Rowan County. So thank you very much, and we appreciate what MSU Public Radio does to champion the cause for the county and the city. It just shows the partnership that we have between us. Thank you
so much for noticing. Sometimes we in the news don't get the praise, so I do appreciate that. We wanted to talk today a little bit about your first regular fiscal court meeting that happened earlier, and you had a special called meeting to take care of some business early in the month, and then also we had a regular scheduled one. Lots of things on the agenda, so we'll get straight into that. The first item that you guys did was swearing in a judge executive. Now, I know that's a little controversial because you had said that you weren't going to hire a judge executive, but sometimes things aren't always as you anticipate. So tell us a little bit about what's been done in that department.
I think what I really, I did say that I would not have a deputy judge executive, but, and I also went on to explain that what I was going to do was I would create, combine two positions into one. And I have done that. So we can call it whatever you want to call it. But by KRS, there's a statute that states 67.735, to be exact, mm-hmm. that states that after 1980, every judge executive has to appoint a deputy judge executive. So by name, he is the deputy judge executive. By what he really is going to be doing is he's going to be running, he's the operational manager as well as the executive secretary to the judge executive. And so it was initially a $38,000 salary for the deputy judge executive, and there was a $33,000, and these numbers are within a few dollars, for the executive secretary, plus benefits to two individuals. So what I've done is combined those responsibilities and those duties into one position, which is going to save us a tremendous amount of money to the county based on salary, and not only that, on the benefits being paid only to one individual.
Right. Now, and the person that the individual that you've chosen to fill this position is Jason Sloan, who's been around. He's not originally from here, but came to MSU as a student. I know Jason. Our children have grown up together. So why? How do you know him, and why do you think he's going to be great for this position?
Actually, I can honestly say that I never chose anyone before or after the election. I don't believe in getting a cart before we get the horse. I've watched Jason throughout the years. He's always been a public in doing things. He was easy to follow because he was always doing good things. He's very knowledgeable of the state procedures, and I thought he'd be an excellent fit for Round County. He's workforce development. You know, we're looking at economic development. He's a perfect fit to help us in some of those areas, and he's rooted here. He's been here since he graduated from the university. As you said, he has kids here. He's got a vested interest, the same as everybody else in this county, to make it a great county. And we just kind of hit it off. He's really a sharp individual. So I think he'll be just an excellent fit to this county, and I think everybody will be proud that he is the guy there that's helping me out with this stuff.
Well, I know you guys had a lot to do, even if an office is in tip-top shape, when the one person leaves, a new person comes in and always wants to make some changes and put it in organized in their own way. And I know that that's what you guys tackled that first week. And now we're into the swing of things, and I'm sure you guys are getting much more comfortable in the building.
We are. And, you know, it is difficult to step into an office that's been occupied for a number of years, mm-hmm. you know, with different policies. And some things were just carried from one position to the other. And so it is it's difficult to get under and get your hands wrapped around everything. And I call it building my nest. You know, I'm like a bird. I kind of like to build my own little nest. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you go through the stuff, and we're still going through stuff. Computer programs, stuff that we had that's in the computer, it's never been destroyed. It's just difficult to find. You know, they label it one way, same as you would. You would label it another way. And So we're getting there. We're finding our way now, and we're starting to produce. We actually the first day on the job, we were pumping out paperwork to the state for road and bridge money, and so we're pedaling along pretty good now.
And speaking of that road and bridge money, I'm gonna skip over a couple of things here, but I see that you guys discussed during the meeting Round Water and the Stidham Road repair.
Yes,
was that one of the projects that you had to take care of?
Well, it's just they built a water tower on Stidham Road, and they did a little damage to the road, and the contractors did. And so due diligence from the county point of view, we didn't do the damage. So, of course, we wanted the contractor to reimburse us for the damage for the road. And we've been working on that. Apparently, I'd been going for a while, and I reached out to Round Water, and we came to an agreement that that they would pay, not necessarily Round Water, but we're trying to do some water hydrants too. So we just kind of did a little trade-off. We're going to take some water hydrants, and Round Water is going to install them for us, and we're going to repair the road. And the contractor actually has got skin in the game as well. He's going to put $5,000 towards the repair. So it was just an agreement that had needed to be taken care of so we could get on about our daily business.
Well, I know the folks who live out there will be happy to see that road repaired.
Everybody loves to see new blacktop.
Absolutely. You guys talked about amending the county clerk's budget and the settlement. I guess that's where the fees are paid to the county from the clerk's office?
Yes, ma'am, it is. The clerk's office is a fee office. So they collect their fees and they pay their payroll, and with the exception of the benefits and all that stuff, the county actually picks up those funds. And at the end of their year, and their year is a calendar year, which is opposed to the fiscal year that we use, they project their excess fees, and they give that to us at the end of their year. And they usually hold back a small amount because they haven't had an audit yet. So if there's any loose ends anywhere there, they pay the audit, and then they will return that money to us. So that's kind of what that was.
Okay, wonderful. So was there – that was as expected, or do we have excess fees, anything?
I think it was projected to be around $30,000. So that's –
normal.
It was pretty much what the projection was, and that's kind of what we got.
Well, it's always good when things are as expected. Sometimes surprises are not welcome.
Usually they're not.
Not when it comes to running the county, for sure.
Unless it's a birthday party.
Another thing that you guys talked about was hazard mitigation. There are some things that are – there are three different properties that are being looked at for that. Is this flood hazard or
– Yes.
Okay.
These are properties that were flooded during one of the floods, and I'll be honest with you, I'm new to the block, and I know where the properties are. There's two located on U.S. 60, and there's one up on Elk Lake, which means they were probably in the last floods within the last 6 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have to do is we have to get someone that's a licensed, of course, appraisal individual that will go out and give us a proposal on the estimate of the cost of what these are, or just give us an appraisal of the property so that we'll know how to go forward with negotiating for the with a hazardous mitigation and how to pay them for this property if they choose to accept the buyout.
Right. As someone who lives in the floodplain, I try to keep up with that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Because I'm always, when it rains, I'm out of town. So another thing that you guys discussed was the animal rescue organizations. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with them.
We have an animal control board normally that reviews all of the people that request to be able to adopt animals. So they review it, and then they forward it on to fiscal court. Fiscal court, of course, is the final authority. And our animal control board has not been real active lately. I think everybody's been kind of like waiting on the next change to see what happens and who's appointed. So being the fiscal court, being the final authority anyway, we reviewed those animal shelters, rescue organizations, and we approved them without recommendations from the animal board since it was kind of not being used at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, we are going to appoint a new animal control board. Some of the old members may still be on it, but I just think we need a fresh start at this and make sure that we have the board and everybody knows who's on the board. Hadn't met in a while. So we're going to attempt to appoint one individual from a dog rescue organization. It may be STAR, it may be somebody else. One from a cat rescue organization. Of course, we'll have the county attorney's office involved because we'll need that. We've reached out to one of our local vets, hoping that they will accept that position. That's probably, in my opinion, one of the most valuable positions because none of us are experts in animals. So they can tell us what overcrowding is, what it does for us, and give us guidance on what we need to do when we have to clean or we have some type of deadly infection. So it's really good to have a veterinarian on the board. And we'll have, of course, the animal control officer himself will be a part of that board. And it's also, it's not so much, it is a lot of part, a lot of it is for the animal shelter, but it's also if we get a complaint for a vicious dog complaint, there's requirements to have a board that meets to handle those cases. So it's twofold to have that board.
I know that there are a lot of people who are very compassionate about animals in our community, so they'll be looking forward to seeing how that board shapes up, and hopefully we can get some things rolling. You guys also talked a little bit about roadside cleanup. I know in some other communities that I've worked in, I've seen a lot of dumping, and to be quite frank, I don't get out into the county here. Is that an issue that we're having, or is it just the regular litter kind of thing that we see everywhere?
We occasionally see illegal dumping. Some of the roads out in the county roads where it's kind of uninhabited, if you will, and they'll find them a convenient place to dump the old couch, the chair, and whatever. Usually it really picks up in the springtime when everybody's done spring cleanup, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be more then. But really, if you get out in the county, and I get a lot of calls on this since I've been the judge, is we've got a tremendous amount of trash along the side of the road. And apparently if you buy your lunch in a Styrofoam box, it's a requirement to throw it out the window. I'm not sure why that is, but we have litter all over the county, all over the roads, and the detention center does a good job with what they have, and they can only put one crew out because they only have one individual that's qualified to watch the inmates, and they have one vehicle. So what the county wants to do is supplement that, and we have a maintenance guy on staff, already on staff, that is qualified to watch inmates. So what we propose to do is when we're not using him to do maintenance around our building, in which he does all the mowing, so now it's no mowing. Mm-hmm. So we want to utilize him to take an additional crew out, and I don't know if we'll ever get ahead of it, and I don't know if we'll ever catch up with it, but we at least want to make an effort to try to clean our county up because, everybody sees we got a beautiful county, mm-hmm. and it's sad when people drive in and all they see is trash on the side of the road. So we're going to make an attempt to try to get things cleaned up, and the fiscal court has stepped up, and we're willing to put some money in that and put some effort into it. So we've talked with Wes Coldarn, the jailer, and he's all for it. So it's a joint effort between the county, fiscal court, and the jailers.
Wonderful. Well, I'm glad to see things moving in that direction. I know it's good for everybody involved when they get the opportunity not only to help the county but also to give those inmates a way to give back. I know that that helps with their rehabilitation and incarceration. So it's good to see that going on.
And I'd like to say that I met a gentleman the other day, and he was an 8-year Marine veteran, 2 tours in Iraq. And me being a 22-year veteran, mm-hmm. I sympathize with him. But, he chose the wrong course. He had spent his time here in the jail. He was going to a rehab facility, compliments of the VA, and it's a tremendous effort to get into a VA rehab facility. He had managed that. He was really just a real pleasant individual. He served his country in Iraq for 2 tours, served the Marines 8 years, and it really meant something to him to be able to get out and do something to pay back because that's what he'd been doing his whole life. So, it means a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Avoidance. A new play by Jim Colgan about the opioid epidemic in Kentucky will be performed at the Rowan County Arts Center on January 25th and 26th at 7:30 p.m. and January 27th at 2 p.m. Tickets are $10 for adults and $5 for students and are available at the door. For reservations, call 783-9857 or email rcac@moorheadtourism.com. All proceeds will go to nonprofit facilities in Rowan County that are treating or supporting the victims of the opioid crisis. This production is made possible by generous grants from the City of Moorhead and the Rowan County Fiscal Court. Contains profanity and adult situations, not suitable for children under 17.
And welcome back to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, here with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Thanks for so much for being on the show.
Thanks again.
We're talking about the January regular meeting of the Fiscal Court and going through the agenda a little bit. We're going to talk about a couple of big things, but first I wanted to hit a little bit on this this item that was authorized for the Gateway Area Development District to use a county vehicle. And I when I read that, I have no idea really what that means, other than they're borrowing the car. But tell us a little bit about what's happening there.
Gateway Ad District is the ones that's responsible for the Meals on Wheels for our senior citizens. And their van is broken down now. And you know, their budget is like everybody else's. They're not sure. And I'm on that board. So we're not real sure, you know, what it's going to take to repair the van, if it's cheaper to buy or replace. We have a Ford Explorer that was kind of just set in surplus. And I think our senior citizens are probably the individuals that are overlooked most in our county and probably throughout the state or maybe even the country. So the Meals on Wheels are very important to them. And I asked the court if we could loan them the vehicle to deliver the Meals on Wheels to our senior citizens. And the court never hesitated at all. We're very willing to loan that vehicle to Gateway Ed and to provide that meal service to our seniors. So it's a really a good cause.
I have called Rowan County home for many years now, but I'm not originally from here. And it always surprises me how our community bands together in the face of adversity. You know, something's wrong, everybody's willing to pitch in, and they help each other and they take care of each other within our community. And that's always something that impresses me about this area.
You know, if you took MSU's slogan, one town, one team, mm-hmm. that sums it up.
I agree. And it's good to be part of that. And speaking of MSU, that's probably the one. You thought you were getting away from that one, didn't you?
I thought we were.
No. We're definitely going to talk about the Laughlin Project. Our listeners remember that back in the fall, there was a proposed project that has been batted around for a while where Rowan County, the tourism, and the city were going to, I guess, lease the Laughlin Health Building on the campus of Moorhead State University, which is a building that's not really being utilized right now in great capacity. There's a couple different departments in there, but no classes are happening in that. And that kind of hurts MSU because there's no classes in that big giant building. There was definitely a feasibility study done, which we just recently got back. So, Judge, tell us a little bit about what you guys found out about the feasibility study and what the court has decided to do about that proposed project.
Well, I want to make clear that I speak only for the fiscal court, and I'm not sure what the other entities are planning on doing. But, you know, it has been a discussion for quite some time now, and I think it was delayed to see the new administration, you know, how we were going to handle it. I got the feasibility study presented to me on Friday afternoon when I met with Dr. Morgan and Mayor White Brown, and that's the first time I'd actually had seen the feasibility study. So I hand carried it to the magistrate so that they could be prepared for the fiscal court meeting on Tuesday. So at the end of the day, what we gathered from the feasibility study, it was based on the fact that we were going to do some reconfiguring of the gymnasium, some restriping and changing of the courts, as well as it was kind of based on the fact that the TIF district was up and flourishing with a hotel downtown, which kind of skewed the study some, because in reality, we really we're hoping to get into the Laughlin facility without a lot of investment and go from there. So it really just didn't – there was really no business plan with it. And even with this feasibility study that was presented, it would be the fourth year before we would break even on it, and that's with anticipating the TIF and all the other things. And we did some numbers, and it just didn't look like we could be able to afford to get into it and maintain it. You know, we could come up with the first $75,000, but I think the court just didn't want to say, wow, we made a step in the recreation department, and we got a big, huge gym. But realistically, it wasn't really a big benefit to all of the citizens of the county. And I think the survey back some time ago that was taken, the recreation was top of the list, and I can assure you it's on the top of my list. But I think we need to figure out a funding stream first and see what we can afford, and then we need to see if there's some money available out there to get something. And we need to think recreation for all of the citizens of Round County, and that's from the toddlers to the senior citizens that need a place to walk when it's snowing or raining. So I think that's the course the fiscal court went. Was the study was just not we didn't feel like it was really that accurate because it was based on some stuff that wasn't happening, and long term we really need to concentrate on recreation. Everyone is in agreement with that. We just need to figure out the best course that's going to suit the most citizens around county.
Mm-hmm. I know that when they did the recreation study a while back, there were certain things that our community was interested in. And are there any ideas that you have considered or that you're thinking about as far as new things to implement at this time?
I really think that, you know, we need a pool. I mean, I think that's definitely been in all of the studies, and we need recreation for the youth and for the seniors. And I think what we really have to go back to is, what kind of assured funding stream can we find that will fund this long term? Now, we may be like some of our neighboring counties, go out and get grants to build this huge building, and it sits idle because we can't afford to staff it or do all these other things or promote it. So I just don't want to get caught in that trap. I want to do this in a logical sequence, and a logical sequence to me is, we all know we need recreation. I think we could all say what we need in recreation. But I haven't found anybody that tells me how we're actually going to pay for it in a revenue stream that's not going to break the county, the city, and tourism. Mm-hmm. And there is funds out there. And I have had conversations with some folks that are willing to assemble a board, and we will look at a funding stream that will be sustainable when we get the building built and move forward with it. And hopefully it won't take forever to come up with how we're going to fund this.
Now, real quick, we've just got a couple minutes left, and I just wanted to ask about one thing. There was a update that came out recently about a high-tech greenhouse built that's going to be locating into our community that sounded really promising. But at the time when the story broke, it was not a done deal at all. Can you give us an update on that, or do you know anything about that's happening with that?
I really can't update you on that. I mean, I'm like everybody else that, you know, reads Moorhead News and whatever Facebook page that you see. And we're all hoping that this happens because it's a huge project for Round County. I mean, it really stands us out as for economic development here. It's a huge payroll. But really, I don't have anything else that I can update on. I know it's been back and forth, as you said, whether it could be or couldn't be, and we'll just have to wait and see. And I hope that wait is not very long.
I know that there has been a lot of rumor about some new businesses, maybe even some new restaurants that might be coming to the area that people are pretty excited about. And I hate to mention particular names. Just because sometimes it's not real at all, or perhaps it's in the works and we don't want to mess up that negotiation. Is there anything new that's coming in that you can update us on?
I can't, and I'll be honest with you. I think if I did, it would be a disservice to the folks that are trying their best to bring those things here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can scare off or spook somebody off if you announce something prematurely, and to be honest, I just don't really have anything to announce on it. And if I did, I probably wouldn't tell you anyway, because it's just something that we don't need to be talking about until we see the sign come up and we go in and enjoy a good meal.
Right. Well, we are all looking forward to that. And on that note, that's all the time we have here today on Open Mic. Judge Executive Harry Clark, I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thanks, Leanne. And I really meant what I said when I started. I won't take it back after the interview. We really appreciate what MSU does for us.
Well, thank you. And for all our listeners out there, thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back again next Friday.